Thanks, Nita. Amen. So, yeah, I am especially excited about Friday. Friday, we have a worship night, and again, we planned it on a Friday. I don't know about you, Friday night is when I feel most alive, perhaps. One of the times you feel most alive, like the weekend is upon you, and it's like, I don't know, just Friday night is good. And the kids don't have to wake up in the morning, so we planned at that time because I know it's hard getting kids here during the week. In my mind, I really want Friday to be special. We got our musicians, some of them, some of the Spanish musicians, and well, there's something about singing that it's most of the night is going to be worship, it's going to be singing. There is something about singing. So this week, I actually did a little reading about it. I knew it already. I knew there's something special about singing. And this week I did a little reading into it, and I just want to share some of the interesting things that I discovered. So you guys have probably heard there is right brain, left brain. I think your left brain is more like analytical, thinking like strategically and steps, and the right brain is more intuitive, I guess you could say, like feeling. Something interesting about singing is it's one of those things that lights up your whole brain. And specifically, there's a certain part of your brain called the temporal lobe. I think it's like right around here somewhere behind your ears. And that is auditory processing, right? So processing speech and music. But what's interesting is there's a certain part of that brain, researchers at MIT discovered not that long ago, there's a certain part of that brain that is specifically for singing. It is not just for speech. It's not just for music. It's actually for singing and hearing singing, where there's been cases where people have gotten a certain level of brain damage and they cannot speak, but they can sing. It's odd. All that to say is it seems to be that God has created us with a unique ability to sing. A little more on the science behind it. So you probably have heard that there are things in our brain connected to happiness, neurotransmitters and such. Probably the most famous that's often cited in various things is dopamine. You know, dopamine is the neurotransmitter that is linked with excitement, linked with anticipation. Christmas Eve is upon us soon. Like, waking up on Christmas morning is like a dopamine rush, you know? It's why people do things like mountain climbing or competitive games, video games, watching an exciting Habs game. It's dopamine. Your brain wants it, okay? Dopamine, the excitement neurotransmitter. There is oxytocin. Another neurotransmitter or reacts like a neurotransmitter. That brings feelings of intimacy, of oneness, of connection, whether it be romantic connection or just a sense of community, kinship, friendship. It's the feelings of connection. You see, God has made us in which relational unity can actually be felt, and that is oxytocin, something you can feel together, and it feels good. And then there is endorphins, something else that functions like a neurotransmitter, and endorphins are what your body releases in response to pain to make you feel good. They are your body's natural painkillers, and endorphins, again, like oxytocin, like dopamine, endorphins make you feel good. Actually, like pharmaceutical painkillers or you know, certain street drugs actually are chemically similar to endorphins, and that's why they work. They make you feel good. Well,
Something interesting is, in addition to singing, lighting up both sides of your brain, specifically lighting up a part of your brain that is made specifically for singing, in addition to that, singing releases dopamine. It has the power to release dopamine, oxytocin, and endorphins all together. Singing has power to... Am I allowed to quote Bob Marley in church? Is that allowed? It was in my head when I was thinking about this. There's a song Bob Marley says, "One good thing about music, when it hits you, you feel no pain." And it's just in my mind. There is something about singing specifically that makes us feel together, that makes us feel good, that can bring excitement, that can take away pain. There's something about singing that's able to do that. It's not automatic. I know that. Because sometimes when I'm cooking, I like to listen to music. And if my wife comes in the kitchen, certain times of the day, she might say, "I am overstimulated right now. Shut that off." She'll say it very nice. But, you know, sometimes you're just not in the mood for music. It's not automatic. It doesn't automatically just, you play the music and you feel good. But it has the power to do it. Singing, music, specifically singing, has the power to make us feel connected, to make us feel good, to take away pain, to bring excitement. And it's not just good for us. It's what the Father is looking for. The Father is seeking worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And we know that worship transcends beyond just singing. We know singing is just one element of worship. But what I want to say for us, and why we're doing Friday, and why we're going to sing after I'm done speaking, is there is something unique about singing. As much as worship is all-encompassing, singing is unique. And I want us to know that. I want us to see it. I want us to pursue and to prioritize that in the way that God has made us and given us this gift to worship him. So that's what I want for us. That's what I want for us for Friday, for after I'm done speaking today. I want our singing to be all of those things. And so I ask myself, what can we do, or what wisdom is there to show us, to teach us how to sing, to unlock? How can we unlock inside of us this singing, right? How can we do it? If only there was a place, if only there was somewhere where you could get some insight. I know it's getting old at this point, but it's not old for me. I'm still amused. If you're new here and you're wondering what people are giggling about, we've been doing a series on the Old Testament book of the Psalms, which are actually songs. And as I've said each week, there's a psalm for that. There's a psalm that addresses this area of life. And if you're wondering, what about singing? I want to sing. Why should we sing? What's a reason to sing? There's actually a bunch of psalms for that, honestly. But there's one that I've chosen for today. There's a song. There's a psalm for that. And so we're going to see in this psalm three reasons to sing. Okay? Three reasons to sing. And the prayer that I'm going to pray is that the Holy Spirit would enable our minds to see it and empower us to do it. So let me pray and then we're going to dive in. Father God, it's your word that we're looking at. And I pray that as you have given us your word, as you've given us the psalm, Lord, I pray that you would enable our minds, the left part of our brain, and our spirits, so to speak, our intuition, our feelings, Lord, the right side of our brain, I pray that our whole self would be able to grasp to behold more of you, Lord, so that singing is not a duty, but it is a joy, Lord. Allow our spirits to sing. And I pray specifically for Friday that you would make it special, all the things that I spoke about, Lord. But guide us now. In your name, Jesus, amen. Okay, Psalm 47, it is 9 verses. I'm going to start by reading the whole thing. Psalm 47. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. For the Lord Most High is awesome, the great King over all the earth. He subdued nations under us, peoples under our feet. He chose our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loved. God has ascended amid shouts of joy, the Lord amid the sounding of trumpets. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. The nobles of the nations assemble as the people of the God of Abraham. For the kings of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. Okay, where shall we start? Actually, why don't we start with the beginning? Verse 1, looking at it again, it says, clap your hands, all you nations, shout to God with cries of joy. It actually begins with the nations, and as you're going to see, the psalm ends with speaking about the nations, the peoples. And so we're going to actually do that one last. When we consider reasons to sing, we're going to kind of work our way up to that. But just know in the beginning that as this song, as this psalm is singing to God, there's a sense in which it's also inviting the nations. Okay, it's kind of speaking to the nations, to the peoples, at the same time as it's singing to God. So we'll come back to that, but I want you to know it. Three reasons to sing. Where shall we begin? Look at verse number 3, because that caught my eye. Right after saying to the nations, come and worship him, come and worship him. He says in verse 3, he subdued nations under us, peoples under our feet. He chose our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loved. Now, on the surface, that's kind of weird. You know, the setting once more is the people of Israel singing. And they're saying to the nations, praise the Lord, nations, because God subdued nations under us. You see there's something a little strange there. Like, hey nations, praise God, because God gave us victory over people like you. I mean, on the surface, it seems a little like, what? But as you're going to see, the psalm makes sense of that. And I'll tell you in advance, there is a special treatment that Israel had. There is a specialness that they had that the nations are invited into. But that first point, I'm gonna tell you, this is what it is. The first reason we sing because of the special love of God. And I'm gonna bring that out, and that's what the beginning of the psalm is pointing to, not simply the general love of God. God is a God of love. He is love. But there is a special kind of love to be found. And that's what this part is pointing to as it invokes Jacob. He subdued nations under us, people under our feet. He chose our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loved. Okay. There's different ways that I could explain this, but the special kind of love, one, I picked that word because it's something sometimes people will say. They might say, so-and-so is receiving special treatment. And that's usually spoken of, and it's not a good thing. But we understand what it means. It means that There's a special treatment that someone might receive that is a treatment that is better than what someone else might get. And that's actually what is kind of being communicated here in different ways. Just even saying, he subdued nations under us. He chose our inheritance for us, this land, he's giving it to us. And then here once more, the mention of the word Jacob, of the name Jacob. Let's just do a quick recap of the story of Jacob, if you don't know, because that's what this person's life tells us. Jacob was the grandson of Abraham, the first guy who had this special treatment, this special kind of love, and then Isaac had it, and then Jacob. And the way that Jacob's story goes, Jacob was a guy not that different than you and me, meaning he was a guy with lots of, looking for a word, but I'm just going to say sins, okay? Lots of problems, lots of faults. He was a guy with lots of issues, and he didn't naturally trust God. In the beginning of the story, he is a liar. He is a swindler, a manipulator. He does something particularly bad that I don't have time to get into, but he dishonors his father, who happens to be the patriarch Isaac. So he dishonors him. He deceives him. He invokes the name of God in his deception. So you could call it using the Lord's name in vain, I suppose. Someone might even go so far as to say blasphemy. He does bad. And because of it, he's got to flee. He's got to run away for his life. And on that day, when he did this terrible thing, that's when God decides to stop him, speak to him, come to him in a dream, in a vision, but not as you would expect. You would expect on that day for God to show up and to say, where do you think you're going, buddy? You know, like you think you're going to get away with what you just did? You would expect God to step in with a bit of a heavy hand, right? But instead, God shows up on this particular day in the life of Jacob, and he says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. I am with you, and I will be taking care of you, watching over you wherever you go. Do you see that? There's a point being made. On the worst of Jacob's days, when his faith, hope, love was absent, that's when God shows up and says, you I'm going to bless. You I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to watch over you. And there's a message there. There is, in this psalm invoking the name of Jacob, there is a love that is to be found, that is not deserved, and it's unique and it's special. A kind of love where God does not deal with you according to your sins, but he deals with you according to his goodness and love. And this, while it is offered to the nations, it's not automatic. This is the special love that we are brought, invited into. There's a story that I want to tell you. It says, he subjected nations under us. Part of this special treatment, the way that it's actually spoken of and repeated when the promise is first given to Jacob and his father and grandfather, the way the promise is first spoken of is, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to be with you. And as far as like a special treatment goes, he says, I'm going to bless those who bless you, and those who dishonor you, I'm going to curse. It's like strong language, as in, I'm going to deal with the world and how they respond to you. Your life is to be a light, and some people are going to welcome that light, and others aren't. And I am going to deal with them in how they respond to you. Now, I'm laughing because I thought of telling this story, but part of me is like, you know what, I'm just going to go for it. Okay. I told you part of this some years ago, but I didn't tell you the whole thing. And it illustrates this point, and it is a little amusing, I think. some years ago, when first I and my wife, us together, started to feel a sense of call to ministry and specifically church planting, that's what we were doing in Wisconsin before we came here, we were dreaming about this and church planting as a unique way to connect with those people who are not church people. While we were dreaming about this, in our hometown, just down the street from where we lived, there was this old movie theater. It was like 100 some years old, and it had fallen into disarray and shut down. And anyways, some people had bought it and got some grants from the city, and they were renovating it to be like a downtown, like cultural hub, to be a bar, a nightclub, and a music venue. And it was just a really cool building. And so my wife and I, we'd walk by, we'd look through the windows, and be like, this is what we said. This is what we want to rent out on Sundays. I wonder if they would let us rent it out on Sundays. I mean, it's a nightclub, it's a bar. They don't need it on Sunday morning. It's perfect, perfect. We'll come in, we'll give them some money, and it'll be great. Fast forward, after a long time of actually doing a bunch of steps, raising money, getting people, sharing our vision with people and getting a sense of, hey, God is doing something. It was time. It was time to hopefully be able to rent out this now functioning music venue for our Sunday services as a way to just communicate to the people, hey, we're a church that's meeting in a bar, is in just a way of saying you're welcome here. We're not. It was just a way of saying welcome to the people, like you can come as you are. That's what we were trying to communicate with that. And anyways, we had. I should tell you this. So the guy who owned the bar, the guy who owned it. He was an individual who was rather intimidating, if I could be honest. He told me that he started his asphalt company with just him and a bucket. And the rumor is he sold it for upwards of $65 million. So he was very successful and very wealthy. And when he got out of the asphalt business, he started buying up taverns, bars. In Wisconsin, if you know anything about Wisconsin, we have the worst numbers of all the states for binge drinking. It is, the Wisconsin Brewers, perhaps you've heard of them. It's just part of the culture of Wisconsin. And so there's lots of bars and lots of taverns in Wisconsin, and this guy owned a slew of them. And and like I say, he was intimidating, and I can't make this up. When we started talking about doing business, and you'll hear more about that in a bit, when we started talking about doing business, he called me up one day and he said, "Hey, I just want you to know that I am taking out a life insurance policy on you." I can't make this up. Says, "I'm taking out a life insurance policy on you. And if anything happens to you, I'll get paid." And I'm like, I said to him, Okay. I said, you don't have any like hitmen in your back pocket, do you? Ha 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 ha. And without a flinch of hesitation or humor, he says, actually, I do. And I'm just waiting for him to say, ha, 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 ha. And that didn't come. I don't know for sure if he was trying to scare me. But if he was, it worked. Okay? So this guy was powerful. He was rich, and he was scary. And but anyways, we did talk with him, and we had a deal. We had a handshake. We were going to rent out his place on Sunday mornings and do church there. Like 2.5 weeks before our first Sunday service, he says, we have to meet. We go there, we go to the bar, talk with him, and he says, changed mind, basically. He says, we're not going to rent you. Because, as it turns out, our people aren't interested in being associated with the church. And I'll never forget it. This is what he said. He's like, the businesses I run are the kind of businesses where a guy might want to come and bring his girlfriend while his wife is at home. And basically, I don't want to interrupt that income stream if people start thinking this is a church bar. I was just like, I was actually really disappointed. I was like, I don't know what to say to that. And so it got, he ended the deal. And as I was leaving, my buddy, Pastor Aaron Winowiski, says to me, this story is not over. This story is not over. And I wanted to like believe that, but also it's like, okay, well, I don't know. I don't have anything to say here. This is the way I tell that story. The God who said, I'm going to bless those who bless you and those who dishonor you, I'm going to curse. Something strange started happening. Seems like God started cursing his business. Because I was asking Aaron yesterday, in all of your years living in Wisconsin, have you ever known of a bar going out of business? Because I cannot think of a single other time. Taverns don't lose money in Wisconsin. But this fellow, within a year, he contacted me and said, do you want to buy the building? For a fraction of the money that was put into renovating it. Okay? And we did buy the building, and of course there's more to the story than that, but afterwards we found out a couple things. It was in the news that this guy's bookkeeper was embezzling huge amounts of money from him. Also, I was on the roof shortly after buying the building, and they had a couple heating units, and one of them, bigger than a pickup truck, I touch it and it's really hot. Electricity is the only thing that's more expensive in the U.S. than it is here. Got this, there's a heater the size of a pickup truck that was hot, but the fan wasn't working. It was just heating the sky in Wisconsin winters. It was like certain things happen. You know what? This is why I tell a story. I have no ill will towards this gentleman. Actually, years later, when we started another church close to where he lived, I reached out to him and I invited him to come. He didn't come, but I bring it up to say there is a special kind of blessing that we have, that God is watching out for us in a unique way. And that's the first reason to sing. That story took longer than I planned, so I'm going to have to speed things up now. The first reason to sing is that God is watching out for us in a unique way, a special way, a way that not everyone has, but a way that everyone is invited into. First reason is sing, the special, undeserved love of Jesus. Okay, let's keep going. I'm gonna make up for lost time. Verse 3 starts with this. God has ascended amid shouts of joy, the Lord amid the sound of trumpets. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. Here we are, the word that's repeated, and it's actually repeated throughout the psalm. Sing, 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 sing to God, but not just sing to God, sing to God who is King. Second reason is sing. We sing first because of his special love for us to watch over us forever. Second reason we sing is because he's the king. Now, in the U.S., we didn't have a king growing up, of course. We have a president, and here is a prime minister. So maybe the sense of what it means to be a king is not totally easily grasped. The obvious difference is a king, unlike a president, unlike a prime minister, the king has no one that he reports to. The king does whatever he wants without restriction. The king is sovereign, in complete control. People report to the king reports to no one. The king does what the king wants to do. And Jesus has sat down at the right hand of the Father, which is the place of power. Jesus is on a throne. He is the King of all kings. He is in complete and total control over every authority on earth. That's the point. There's a lot of authorities in our lives, and sometimes these authorities frustrate us. Sometimes these authorities disappoint us. I don't see too many teenagers in the church this morning, but the teenagers that are here are thinking, amen, because they have authorities in their lives. My teenagers do. Well, one of them's too old. She's no longer a teenager. She's doing her own thing. But teenagers have their parents, right? Everyone has authority. Someone said it to me this week. I don't remember who. Someone said everyone's got a boss, okay? There's authorities in our life, and sometimes authorities disappoint us, frustrate us. Sometimes we feel like authorities aren't doing what we think is right. And there are ways that we can respond to that with, we can make our plea, make our appeal. I shared with you guys a week or two ago that I have been really disappointed because I've been trying to learn French for 5 years because there was a certain program that would allow our family to be permanent residents. And then right when I'm at the point of being able to speak French, after working really hard for a long time, the government suddenly said, we're done with that program. And it really felt like unfair to me. And so I did the normal thing of I wrote some letters to some representatives, some legislators. And so just trying to be respectful, but just also express, I don't think this is fair, but just put it in your hands. Same letter, I sent it to some newspapers. I tried it in French. And in English also, one of the English papers published it as an article. And I also talked with someone on the radio this week who interviewed me on the same topic. And the truth is, I feel like, I do feel like, I guess you could say hurt, frustrated, or whatever. But, I know that the highest authority goes beyond Quebec, right? I can feel disappointed, but notice this. When you have authorities in your life, people telling you no, people who you don't feel are treating you in the way you deserve or whatever, as much as you can express yourself in ways that are fitting, you have to see through that. You have to see through those human authorities to the king. And the king is still the king who has told us, I'm with you, and wherever you go, you can't leave. You can't leave. Wherever you go, I'm a watch over you. He is still the king who reigns. And while I know our journey here is a story that he brought us here, and I know that story is not over. I don't know how that story is going to get written, but I know the one who writes it. So what shall I do when the future is unclear? Shall I wait to sing until I get good news? Or do we sing now because he is on the throne? Do we sing when things are going good and then when things are going bad, we stop? Does Jesus get off of the throne and then get back on? Or is God, who is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, the never-changing God who reigns and will reign forever and ever, is he on the throne? And for that reason, we sing. I said it last week, and I'll say it again. We cannot see God through the lens of our problems. If God is who he is, why is my life like this? My life has pain, my family has pain, there's problems all around, and you want me to believe in a God of goodness? Stop. Start with Jesus who rose from the dead, the King of Kings, and then through that lens, look at your life. Don't look at God through the lens of your problems. Look at your problems through the lens of God. And you'll see them as they are. Small details in a story that's not yet finished. First reason, praise God because of the special love that we have in Jesus. The special treatment that you would give a child, that you would give one of your children. Praise him because we have that special love. The second reason to sing is because he's the king and he's in control of everything. The one who loves us is in charge. He's telling a story. Okay, now, third reason. Third and final reason. Psalm 47, verse 8 and 9, God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. The nobles of the nations assemble as the people of the God of Abraham. For the kings of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. This is very interesting. God is in control of everything. And verse 9, he says, the nobles of the nations assemble as the people of God of Abraham. You see, in the New Testament, this is called a mystery that is revealed in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it's not clearly seen how this would work. But here you see something. In the Old Testament, you do have this special kind of love, this favor, this privilege, this special treatment that is given to Abraham and his family. It's a special love. And here there's foreshadows of what is to come and what this is really about. And here it says, people from the nations, people from the world are going to come as the people of the God of Abraham. As in, they're going to come as if they're part of it. And in the New Testament, this is spoken of the mystery. The mystery is the inclusion of the Gentiles. Another way of saying the mystery is the promise isn't only for the people of Israel. The promise is for those who would believe. Through faith, they would enter. That is the Christian message. Believe in him. Believe in this God who sits on a throne. Believe in him, and he will be your God. And you will be his child. And you will have this special kind of love. Now, Tuesday, the Montreal Gazette published this article that I wrote. And I was walking with my buddy, mon pote, Jeff Day. We were walking, is that the right word? Pote? People say that here? My pote? Mon pote? I don't know, my wife looks at me. No. People don't say that. Isn't that mean like, that's in France, you don't do that here in Quebec? Okay. Well, I know more French than you guys then. Okay? All right, I was walking with my buddy, my pote, mon pote. Look it up, that's what it means. So walking with Jeff Day, we were gonna get some lunch, and as I'm walking, I'm like, yeah, this is hard. It's hard for our family. It's hard to live with that uncertainty. It's harder for my children. But even though it's hard, I know God's on the throne. And I said to him, I know there's a lot of immigrants that are in much worse shape. Their situation is more dire, and to make it worse, not everyone knows about the king who's on the throne. And so I said to him, if this is hard for me, how much harder is this for someone who doesn't have such hope? And so we kept walking. We were going to go to this pizza place. We went in, but they were closed. So we kept walking, and we went to this little Portuguese chicken shop on St. Charles called Piri Piri. And the place was empty, except for the guy behind the counter. And his name is Muhammad. And I know that because I met him like some time ago. I was there another time. And we had talked. I remembered. And walking in there, I remembered Muhammad, him and I had talked about both of us having to take this French test for immigration. And I said to him, hey, Muhammad, how's it going? Did you take your French test? Is things working out for you? And I feared the worst. And the look in his face showed me the worst. Jeff Day and I listened to him for about 20 minutes. A man who was almost on the verge of tears telling us, him and his wife, you know, they took the French test, but they ran out of time, just like us, when the program was closed. And he said in 6 months, his work permit expires, and he doesn't know what he's going to do. He can't renew it. And I could see and I could understand the fear that he has. And what I said to him, God had just, it was what we called a divine appointment, because here we are in this restaurant and it's empty. There's no other workers. There's no one else in there. So Jeff and I were able to listen to him, just share about his fear. And by the way, I told him that our whole church would be praying for him and his family. So pray for a guy named Muhammad. But what I was able to tell him was, God sees. I want you to know that God sees what you're going through. God sees and he cares. And this invitation to basically consider that there is a king. You can look to a king who is in control, who sees and who cares. And you see, that's what's going on in this psalm. This psalm is, while it is saying, sing to him because he's king, At the same time, it's saying, come to him, nations, and come, know that there is a king. Come and know that there is a king on the throne. The third reason that we sing is because he is calling the nations. He is calling the peoples. By the way, if you're ever hungry for Portuguese chicken, stop down the street. I'm 100% serious. Stop down the street. I told Muhammad our whole church would be praying for his family. And you can say, are you Muhammad? Our church is praying for you. And leave a good tip. I mean that, actually. I'm going to invite the band up, actually. But on that note, here at our church, we have something called the Immigrant Assistance Fund. Our Immigrant Assistance Fund, it assists with living costs such as rent, utilities, helping with things like immigration, lawyer costs, application fees, helping those already established in Montreal to bring family members into Canada, providing clothing and household items needed by new immigrants, assisting them navigate the immigration process, helping with transportation emergencies, doing the little things that friends would do to provide support and ensure new immigrants know they are not alone. Prayer, conversation. If you want to learn more about the Immigration Assistance Fund, you can contact Randy Trim through our webpage, who leads that. But this is one of the maybe only times I'd tell you can take out your phone at church. If you go on our webpage and go to the section that says give, you can give a donation specifically to the Immigration Assistance Fund. And it's not about the money. Someone sent me a video this week about someone telling a story how he sent some tacos to a friend just through like Uber Eats. And the friend like called him up in like tears of happiness and because it spoke to him in that certain way. It's not about the money, but it's about what the money communicates. When I say go and leave a good tip, it communicates I care about you. And that's the message that we actually have for the world. Is that as we are the light of the world, the living hope that people are to see, our lives need to communicate this. We see and we care. So I'm going to ask you actually, I don't know, I hope this is okay. I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to challenge you to do something. Pick a number between 1 and 1,000,000, okay? As in pray and consider. Maybe the only thing that you can give is $5 to our Immigrant Assistance Fund. Maybe that's all you can do, okay? Maybe you honestly just feel like I can't do anything. And if that's where you're at, bless you, all right? But I want to encourage you, I want to ask you to consider this morning and make a decision on that by faith. And the reason I say this is I want us to sing. And that's what we're about to do. I want us to sing. And I know there is a connection between singing to God and showing love and hope to the world. There is a connection there. You see in this psalm is about praising God, but it's also saying, clap your hands, O nations. Sing to God. Sometimes giving money, giving of ourselves, giving hope. I can tell you this. Sharing hope with our friend Muhammad made me feel like I wanted to praise God. All right? There is something about giving that in us unleashes joy. And I want that for us. I want us as a church to have great resources to show immigrants. And by the way, I'm an immigrant. That money's not for me, just so you know. Okay? But I want us to be able to do that because that is one of the ways that God has uniquely positioned us here in Montreal. So we're going to respond to Psalm 47 by singing. And if you would be willing, I'd ask you also to consider making a decision this morning about giving to our Immigrant Assistance Fund. Father God, thank you that you have loved us with a special kind of love, a special forgiving kind of love, Lord. Thank you that you are the King above every other authority, higher than rich people of the world, higher than governments, Lord. Thank you. We sing to you, King, Lord, and we sing because you are calling the nations just like you've called us into this special kind of love. We praise you for all of this, King Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen.